Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde, I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor helping women healing mother wounds. And today, as a special guest, we have my husband, Mark Usher, and host of Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. And well, first of all, welcome. I suppose I should be polite.
At least live on the podcast, you're polite. That's really great to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
It's a while since we've done this, and this episode is following the episode that I did a while ago, 17 signs you're dealing with a narcissistic mother-in-law and how to deal with it. That was episode 63, if you want to go later on to listen to it. And after that episode, there was a bit of a stir. So I had questions about women that were dealing with not only their own narcissistic mother, but also their mother-in-law and the relationship then that said mother-in-law has with her son, which is their husband, and how this triangle kind of gets messy. And so I thought, why not bring an expert in relationships and married relationships on board, because you can answer to these questions better than I can. So I suppose the first thing is, how is it different? How is it different, the relationship that as a daughter you have with your mother and a narcissistic mother, to the relationship that a man has with his mother that may or may not be a narcissist? Now, we're not necessarily saying here that it has to be a narcissistic mother-in-law, because I'm sure that there's a lot to be said in general anyways, but still there's differences, and the question is, what are those differences?
Well, I won't give any commentary on like the differences, you know, in the mother-daughter line.
No.
You've spoken so perfectly to that, but I will definitely jump in on, you know, a son with his mother. I'll go general, and then we'll play some tennis, baby. Just I'll serve what's live for me. In my work, both my personal deep inner work, I'm in for your audience listening in, I've been in deep men's work about 5.5 years, coming from our personal marriage breakthrough experience years ago. That's what really knocked over the first domino for myself coming into this work, the podcast Be the Husband She Brags About, the movement Heroic Husbands Men's Circles. So I'd lead with, it's a exceptionally common theme since doing this work to start noticing that a major tension point in, I would say, the vast majority of marriages is this unspoken, weird, fuzzy, hard to define connection that a son has with his mother. And that for his queen living next to him, married for 5 years, 10 years, and obviously 20, 30 years, so often their queens are reporting this weirdness about it, some intuitive feel that something is not right in that relationship. And almost the majority of marriages, there's a report of this tension point and repeated arguments down the years. Of course, in the spectrum from major kick-ass arguments down to just niggly background, but very often ending up with a deep resentment within the queen of the relationship, a guy's wife, that his way of relating with his own mom is out of alignment with his queen's heart. What I would lead with, I myself personally have in relating with yourself, baby, like, just to be really clear, I speak to this very, you know, with radical clarity on the podcast, very often my own podcast. I have related with yourself and with my own mom, and I've been in the octagon of that experience of trying to wonder, like, what the hell, how do I come and drop into this experience and actually be there fully for you? And I know for years you were experiencing firsthand, and you were reporting it to me, of this idea of, God, Mark, we're driving the car to my mom and dad. My mother has passed away 2 years ago, but for all of those beautiful years that we had together with her, we would be driving up to my parents' house, and you'd be having the conversation with me, and we'd have certain, key agreements made about the parenting responsibilities when we're there with the kids, and me staying with you and not splitting off to go on a whim that my mother had a suggestion. And I would be in full agreement. It's like, yeah, I'm listening. And then I'd walk into my home place. And for those listening in, it's been one of the key resentments that Matilda had to bring up again and again with me. And it took me a long time in deep men's work to really face up to the full clarity of what was happening in that energetic. All I now know is that myself personally, as a man who has always loved Matilda massively and had great intentions, I was getting lost. There was an emotional, I'd say technically, a dissociation that was happening when I went into my home place. And what would take over were all of these old childhood patterns would take me over. The feminine pleasing, but it was feminine pleasing patterns when I was with you, baby, at home, and they had their own issues, the Mr. Nice Guy. But if there was a choice between the feminine pleasing of your needs, when my mother is in the same room, same kitchen, same environment, if we're out, we're at an hotel, the default needs were being met of my mom, not yours. My mother would ask me to go do something and drop of a hat. Yeah, I can do that, mom. And you would have that steely look, sort of going, hey, we were meant to go like in 5 minutes. How the hell are you after committing to, an additional 2 hours to our trip here, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I just wanted to give a personal sharing of my own journey with this before I jump into, hey, there's beautiful empowering theory and where guys need to go, but I wanted to share that with you, with the people listening in first and foremost.
And so I just want to say, with this whole point that you made about the different needs, so that in the moment you agree with me before going into the place, and then once you're there with your mother, that the needs of your mother take priority. You go back into that role that you've played in within that family unit all your life, and you mentioned being even like somehow dissociated. So it's not something that, and I know now we're just revisiting this, that we've been through this conversation over and over, but that there wasn't an awareness in that moment of what was actually really truly happening. We didn't know the full mechanism, and you weren't aware that that was happening. That was what was happening. But when, and I want to link it back to the episode about the narcissistic mothers-in-law. So, like, what you've given is general, and we've like, and your mother has never been like a stereotypical narcissistic mother, so we don't have that add-on. But that I've mentioned in that episode how a narcissistic mother-in-law will compete with the daughter-in-law. So this thing that happens of actually prioritizing the needs of the mother versus the ones of the wife gets heightened by the fact that a narcissistic mother-in-law will play that fact subconsciously. They mightn't be fully aware, but will play on that to make it even more obvious. So I'm saying this for the listeners that have connected with the whole narcissistic mother-in-law theme, that if you have observed this behavior and you've seen it like heightened, like more obvious, that's because of those traits that come into play. And then it gets like, it becomes a full-on competition. It becomes a full-on, I'm gonna ask him something that is going to create conflict with his wife. Because he has, I have to be the favorite. I have to be the one that he loves the most. And so I just wanted to bring that in, just to specify that that does happen.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And again, it's on the spectrum. From my experience, I don't have expertise like you would have in the key specific characteristics of narcissism. Yet I would go with the general statement of like, narcissistic type characteristics or temporary behaviors, they're all pervasive. Without the understanding of what the energetics are happening from a masculine and feminine perspective. Before I lead off into this, because I do know, I'm imagining that some women will find it very empowering, or they'd like to invite, you know, their husband or their life partner in on this conversation, maybe listen to the podcast. So I really want to speak to both realities. You know, the on the first hand, the it seems to be the central audience here, female and maybe in marriage or in relationship, and hence they're linking in. It's triggered their curiosity. The title and topic of this episode is that I want to, from my experience of seeing underneath the bonnet of so many, probably hundreds of marriages at this point, and I'm on connecting with you men all around the world, cross-culturally, I want to validate your emotional intuitive feeling of there's something screwed up in the relationship that your husband has with his mom. Something that just isn't right. That you might even have a love for the woman. You might even have an understanding. Hey, you might be on the other spectrum. You might think she's an X, Y, and a Z, and cuss language that I might bring to my own podcast, but I'll try to be polite here. That's okay too. I just want to say, from what I'm seeing in supporting guys around the world in coming into, you know, a grounded awareness of their energetics with their queen, there's so much undealt with wounds with their own mom that is getting in the way, that needs to be clarified, needs to be healed, needs to be brought out in the open. So yes, I want to explicitly validate your frustrations, your resentments, your feeling of hurt, your feeling of loss, of sadness, of this regular experience of your husband energetically not showing up with you as the core of his life, of his being, and that there is a split. It's so all pervasive. I want to validate your experience by default, the women, the wives, the goddesses listening in. However, at the same time, maybe you're listening with your husband, maybe you're not, but I do want to validate, you know, my experience as a man and all the husbands, men, partners out there. I want to validate and bring the light of awareness on the very real, exceptionally challenging experience it is to be a human in the male form. You're playing the role of husband, you know, deep down, can be very, very deep down, you know, with hurt and a lack of awareness. But as men, we love. Deep, deep down, we're like, we're the embodiment of love. It's not spoken much in this profoundly sick society, but when the guys come into the work, hey, guys, like, they turn on, they switch on when they're allowed speak like that and identify like that. So it's deeply confusing for your husband, for a man to be in this bind of not understanding, I love my queen, I love my wife, I'm there with her. I say these things. I say like, yeah, I'm going to set a boundary. I'm going to do these things. And then you get into the space with your mother, with his mother, and this irky, murky, if it's dissociation, if it's unconscious behaviors, patterns take over, and you're left feeling with this confusion of what the hell has just happened inside myself? How am I in this argument again with my wife? As we drive away from mom and dad's again, from mom's house again, how the hell, what? And then you're caught in this argument because there's this confusion inside of yourself as a man going, yeah, I gave, you know, my wife my word, and then I went against it, and I don't know what the hell happens to me. It's exceptionally challenging. And there can be a deep shame for man that he keeps getting bound up in this experience and he doesn't understand the mechanisms of it, a deep guilt and anxiety, a frustration. And it's without, and the mechanics of it, I will speak to you now, but without a radical black and white awareness to support him, that he has a map in his hand energetically where he can go, ah, okay, so that's what's happening. I now understand exactly what's happening to me in all of those moments. Without that map, that's an astoundingly challenging and confusing and very lonely human experience for the man to be in. And in me validating both human experiences, that doesn't mean that, oh, he's validated now. That doesn't excuse the hurt that it's been, that's causing you. So there's an extreme ownership there for the man. I just really wanted to make sure that there's a complete healing space for both, you know, husband and wife in this conversation before we move forward.
Absolutely. That's very important. And I love the way you've started with validating the experience of the wives involved, because in my work, what I come across a lot, and I have come across that also in my own experience, that was my experience back then when we were going through those challenges, is that there's like, it's really accepted that there has to be this special relationship with the mother. So, and not just for, this is also when we come into it as daughters of narcissistic mothers. I mean, we can't, it's a taboo topic to speak to when you start saying that you actually have issues with your own mother, because that relationship is sacred and you should never be speaking bad about it. You shouldn't be ungrateful. You shouldn't be a bad daughter and all of that. So that is playing the part for us, but it also plays the part when you're relating with the mother of your husband, because that relationship is kind of sacred. It's his mother and he's doing his best. And so it's like you feel the hurt, but you're a bad person, a bad wife, if you actually put yourself in the middle there and interfere. So there's like, we can often suppress the anger that actually does come up. We can blame ourselves for not being understanding enough and for not being open-minded. And maybe we're bad. That's why our mother-in-laws don't like us, because there's something wrong with us. We're doing our best and whatever. So it's great that you touched that point. But I also, yes, I totally get it, how it is challenging for the other part too, because, and that I know that that's what you're going to speak next, is like why there is this weird relationship that it's out of balance between mothers and sons, that it's kind of left to how it was when that son was a child, and that nourishing, loving, or whatever intimate, strong bond that there is between mother and son, that's inarguable with, but now we're talking about a full-on adult that has also married and that has his own family possibly and stuff. So, and yet that relationship didn't seem to have evolved. So why is that?
I want to take a little step back, and it's context is everything. Mm-hmm. When I'm working with guys, the context, and it's to speak to the guys to get a grounded context of this is what we're really talking about. You know, rational minded guys, in this society, we've camped out in a rational mind, the unfeeling mind. So I meet guys there and it works really powerfully, because you can get binary, get as black and white about the understanding of the mechanics of it. So you can go, ah, okay. So this makes sense. Flick the light of the rational mind. When the rational mind gets there, a guy can drop in exceptionally quick and make a quantum leap in consciousness, a real quantum leap in his ways of approaching the entirety of his intimate relationship with his queen. The context I build for the guys listening in, but especially for, you know, women listening in that take that upon themselves, this profoundly saddening role of, oh, I'm a bad wife. You know, it's like these expectations. There's meant to be a good wife. A good wife is meant to, you know, look pretty, miraculously stay in shape, tick every single box in the house, in parenting, you know, be a good wife in the bedroom, and it's caricatured all pervasively in modern media, you know, like just be there, the sexy, pretty, dolled up wife that comes home, that the husband comes home from the battlefield of the corporate world, you know, the Marvel movies, comes home and she's always welcoming there with a smile. That's the good wife. Where the good wife ancestrally and energetically is the goddess. And this is for, or like, is to really speak to what I hope is a revelatory undoing of such profound conditioning. When I speak to guys, I remind them, guys, you know, when your queen gives you feedback, but your nervous system doesn't take it as feedback, it's criticism. And on this topic, hey, on the way home, she's there giving you, you know, by your interpretation, it's like, hey, she's giving you crap, she's at you again, would she not just lay off, etc., etc. There's this, I'm a victim of her giving me crap, like, it's my mom, can you just lay off, you're being unfair, you've got to, and you get caught in this way of thinking, but it's not moving anything. Nothing is improving, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. That's the first sign I'd say to guys. You got to get black and white. Man, I'm a results-based human being. That was a big part of me overcoming my trauma and, you know, turning my marriage around. It was like, if I'm having a repeated conversation with my queen, if I'm repeatedly leaving my mom and it's repeatedly being brought to me, I've got to wake up and go, this clearly isn't working how I'm showing up. Opinion counts for nothing. Being right, do you want to be right or do you want to be connected? However, the energetic is when your queen is giving you the feedback, the complaint, the pointing out, hey, where the hell were you? This is so upsetting. She's infuriated with you or she's gone quiet. You just know she's upset with you. Before you take it personal and you go down that sort of victimhood, you know, you're a victim of this overly sensitive, complaining wife, you know, and so I've camped out there for years. You know, I lead with that. But before you do that, consider this. Your beautiful queen, your wife, has went through an initiatory rite of passage every single moon time for, you know, it depends what age, of course, but very often it's going to be decades. Probably at least a decade, if not more, before she entered marriage with you. And it depends on your marriage journey. So she personally could have went through hundreds. Well, I don't know, literally hundreds, but you know what I'm talking about. It's decades, years, months after months. And it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 days per month. Ripped into an energetic, explosive experience with zero awareness from this society of what that means energetically. She had no choice in it. I've had the humbling experience of holding space for our daughters, our eldest daughter, and holding space for the profound physical discomfort that she would have for days, the deep pains, and me speaking to going, hey, you're going through this, and I want you, as your dad now, I want you to remember these moments always. And this is where you're earning the right to give ferociously direct feedback to your future husband, to your future king. And it's like, you'll hold him in high regard. I speak very positively about masculine power. It's one of the most beautiful forces in the entire universe, is masculine power embodied in a man showing up powerfully. However, it's like, you know, you're earning the right now. You know, you're 12, you're 13 now. You'll meet that guy taught years in future. You will initiate him with your feedback. And you're earning the right to do that in every single moment of, you know, your pain, your suffering, your confusion. This is your initiation. And you will enter into marriage and you will be the most powerful initiatress mm-hmm. of your husband. And that's just the moon cycle. A lot of women listening in possibly will have went through childbirth. Your body changes permanently. You know, it's like it changes permanently. And the challenge that can be in this society, you breastfeed, you nurture, and I know there's plenty of men doing amazing parenting, but you went through that. You faced life and death. Statistically, there is that chance. Us men, we did not. We just did not. That's a fact. So to women listening in, it's like build that self-esteem of you have been initiated. That's the energy. Ancient tribal, traditions going back the centuries and the millennia, they had their entire society built upon the acceptance and the reverence of the divine feminine, because they knew energetically that's what women went through in the moon cycle to come back so potently sensitive in your emotional sensitivity that you can intuitively feel within a nanosecond if something is off. So that is your gift. I want to build that in to bring humility for guys in this conversation, because when you get that, the mechanics of it, guys drop in immediately when I'm in circle with them in Heroic Husbands Men circles. It's like an aha moment beyond the conditioning of this profoundly sick society that puts moon time and feminine to the side, organized religion. Let's not go there with what they have done with the feminine. There's an aha moment where guys go, wow. And there was me bitching that, she was giving me crap about my mom. And she's went through that for decades. And here I am. She's initiating with me with feedback to step deeper into consciousness, to step deeper into extreme ownership, to step into leadership, to own my crap and actually become a more powerful man. And here I am bitching for the next 2 hours, on the way home in the car. It's key to remember the power for men and for women, for the women listening in, to have to build that radical, unshakable self-esteem that will allow you start going, you have a right. Not only do you have a right, it's essential for you, for your marriage, that you ground in and go, you can say no to him. You can say, I don't care what your opinions are. It's not working for me. My intuitive guidance is telling me it's off, so you better sort out, or you better get on and listen to that podcast with this skinny dude from Ireland talking his talk. The flip side, so that's the feminine energetic within women, and it's for men to lock in and go, okay, there's some real deal stuff going on that I've got to come around, and I'd say maybe take a quantum leap into divine reverence of your woman and this ancestral truth that's there. And then, okay, cool, Mark. So you're talking about that's about my queen, my wife. Okay, cool. Might make sense. I expect it does. But what about my mom? So there's the masculine, feminine relating with your mom that I've already spoken about the word initiation. I would say, and it's my observation in my experience with you, Amore mio, in our marriage, personal firsthand, but now in all these marriages that I'm dealing with, that almost every mother of a husband will behave in deeply self-centered ways very often that creates trouble for the marriage. And I run away from the term narcissism when guys use it with their wives and with their moms. I do it for a particular reason, because for guys to it's I imagine very empowering for women listening in to have a label, to have an understanding. So I don't want to invalidate that. But for guys listening in, it's taking extreme ownership. And initiation as a man is to take extreme ownership and eliminate blame and shame. And it's very easy to blame oh, my wife is narcissistic, my mother was, it just to blame, to start throwing out this blame around the place. What is natural about a mother's love for her son is that the maternal bond of mother to son, and I know with this podcast you'd hope that that same maternal bond would extend to daughters, but a mother's bond to her son, to her child, that creates such an issue is that's undying. And cultures going back years ago, they had specific initiatory rites of passage where the son coming of age would be brought into the savanna, into the forest, into the jungle, going a long walk with the elders, with his dad, with his uncles, with the masculine leaders, and they would be initiated. And part of the initiation was you come in a boy and you go out a man. There are multiple different ways they had to overcome a distinct threat to life, but a distinct part of it was the ripping away of the energetic umbilical cord, where until this point in your life, as a boy, as a son, yes, it's perfect that you seek nurturing from the feminine. And the feminine to that point in his life's experience is represented by his mother. Seek the nurturing, seek the validation, seek the caring nest, beautiful support of the mom, seek the approval. This divine, soft, feminine relating, where the boy would learn all about the feminine from his mom, but he'd have it balanced with the masculine, hard, more directional, linear, through his dad, through the men in the village. It's beautiful. But when it's not initiated, when a mother does not go through an initiation and a son does not go through an initiation, where that is energetically stopped in a very definite and accurate way, well, then the maternal impulse is so strong that without the support of those rites of passages, a mom will continue relating with her son like it's her son, that like it's her little Tommy, like it's her little Mark. And that love is infinite. It's one of the most powerful forces in nature, you know, the mother-child bond. Now, what to do, you know, 99.999% of people, I'd say 100% of guys listening in, their mother hasn't went through an initiation. They haven't went through an initiation. They haven't had men's work. So what do you do? There is what I call an energetic bridge to cross, where I call it the burning house challenge. And it's metaphorical.
Okay.
I really hope for people listening and men listening, and you never come upon this, but I ask a question of guys. It's like, if I want to say to the beautiful, sensitive feminine listening in, and both men and women, that these don't get startled or shocking. It might seem a little bit morbid or very morbid, the idea, but it is startling, and it's an initiatory reflection. Mm-hmm. If there's two burning houses, this is for the guys. If there's two burning houses, your mom is crying out the window of one and your queen kids are crying out the window of the other, which house? And you've only one house you can go in and save the lives of. Which house is it? And if some guys goes, oh, but my kids are in there. Okay, let's make it more specific. Two burning houses, mother in one, queen in the other. The kids are safe. Even nanosecond, which house do you go to? The initiated male has only one choice. It's his wife. That's it. There's not even a question. And it needs to be that ruthlessly clear in his nervous system, but it can't be without an initiation. It can't be without deep men's work, where you have a tribe of men around you present day supporting you in being able to set that boundary. If you have a nanosecond or a delay, or there's a discomfort going, oh God, this is like such a moral dilemma. Some guys will go, but I can't give you an answer to that. That's like, that would be horrible. I can't leave my mom. Man, I can guarantee you that your wife is feeling astoundingly unsafe in your presence when you're around your mom. Because if you can't make that decision in a nanosecond, and that's really uncomfortable for you to even have to contemplate, you poor thing, she's not safe. And that's really destroying the core energetic of her safety and connection with you. I'm going to put the tennis ball back to you, baby, because just to make sure that this is serving the conversation.
It is enormously, because it offers I know this is a perspective, and we've spoken to this a lot, and I know that this is a big part of your work, and it has been a big part of our own relationship, because I still do remember well, the house wasn't burning, but we've had experiences in which, especially one in particular, when you had to step in and not quite defend me, but set a boundary with your mother. And that was quite profound, and it did change a lot. We never had issues after that with your mother, because you did that. You saved me from the burning house. So, the question I have next, so like, yes, hopefully, like, women can actually listen to this episode with their husbands and sort of have a conversation about this. But let's speak to the women that maybe don't feel like doing that just yet, or they can't do that. So what is the approach? What can we do in the face of this out of balance relationship? And again, I know you spoke about the undying love that a mother has for the son, unless there is an initiation. I just want to bring it in, and I do respect the difference between speaking to daughters of narcissistic mothers that have actually lived in total shame until they discovered that there was this word that actually not quite labeled, is not to label it. You know, if you're listening to this podcast for a while, I never actually liked the whole labeling thing, but it clarifies and it gives us an understanding of what we're dealing with, so that we can remove the guilt and the shame that we've heaped on ourselves. But I do understand that men's work is quite different. And so I get the whole point of trying not to get the label. Yet, when in the burning house there is a narcissistic mother-in-law, she's not just screaming for help, she's also insulting the woman in the other house. You shouldn't be saving her, and she's trying to guilt trip the man into coming to her aid, and there's it's like it's heightened again. There's an added bonus that we get on it. She won't go down without a fight, and it's going to be a dirty fight. It's not going to be clean. It's not going to be honorable. It's not just the love. It's like she's going to use any little thing that she knows about her son to push the right buttons at the right time, and do it possibly in a very covert, vulnerable way, so that it's like inarguable. This woman is in need, and I am her son, and how can you ask me not to tend to this person? Or can't you feel how unfair that is? It's gonna be like a moral dilemma as well. So have you any insight or any advice as to how to deal with this?
It might be a step philosophical, but it does serve. If guys are listening in, I would recommend that they read the book Iron John by Robert Bly. Iron John is a fable that speaks to the energetics of the rite of passage, the initiation of a boy coming to a man in all the phases. Quite a challenging book. My rational-minded brain found it really hard to enter into it the first time, and it's been several readings later where I've come to really understand it. However, when it comes to the boy initiating, cutting the umbilical cord from his mother, it's very interesting in the story. It's to give us a little bit of context to the story, there's the central character, the boy, and he goes into the forest, and he eventually, through many different adventures, finds a wild man at the bottom of a lake. The wild man gets trapped, and the wild man represents the wildness of in the boy that he needs to claim to become an integrated man. The wildness of red hot passion, of red hot anger. He's grounded in his own feet, in his own truth. He can serve as a powerful man and in marriage be a powerful husband that can is a mountain in the feminine storm. The boy must claim the wild man as his own. But being a myth, in this story, the wild man is trapped by the boy. The boy is a prince, I believe, and his father and his court, they trapped and captured the wild man from the forest who has been killing people down the years. And he's brought back to the castle and he's put down in the dungeon in the prisons, deep down in the basement of the castle. So the boy has this moral dilemma, as you're saying, baby. You know, it's like there's this moral dilemma, there's this woman. And so his woman in this story is his mother, is the queen upstairs. But he's faced with the dilemma of becoming himself fully. There's the wild man down, that he has this deep, massive, irrepressible attraction to unlocking. But the key juice in this entire story, I get excited with this. I really hope that, you know, the people listening in, husbands, wives, whoever, can feel that. It's so empowering. The key juice of the entire story is the key to unlock the door of the prison cell that keeps the wild man in. That key is held under the pillow of the boy's mother. This changes everything. So the boy then, realizing where the key is, has this decision to make. It's like, does he wake his mother up? Does he say, please, mommy, is like the wild man down there. It's like, I just have this irrepressible need to be friends with this wild man that you're saying is so dangerous. You're all threatened by him. Because why? It's who I truly am beyond this boy. I will explode onto the scene in an uncontrollable manner of my authentic being. That's why I want him. So does the boy, he has this moral dilemma. Do I ask my mom? Do I ask her permission? Do I say, hey, mom, I want to integrate. I want to become friends with this wild man. No. He energetically, emotionally, psychologically needs to steal the key from his mother. It's key. It's literally the key. Pun not intended. He energetically, in all initiations, without the permission of the mother, he robs the key from under her pillow that she's asleep on, deceiving her, not giving her any role in the decision-making process. He robs the key, and in robbing the key, he takes his power as a man. He initiates into being a fully grown man and goes, I have liberated myself. Because why? The mother is not going to have the power to gift him that freedom because she loves him. She doesn't want him to leave the castle, to leave her nurturing. There's too much of a pain for her to initiate, for her to lead that process. So he steals it and he frees the wild man. Many other chapters of the story go on, but it's crucial that the boy does it. So on a practical level, well, what does that mean? Boy in a castle stealing the key from underneath it. The unsexy, no BS, no sugarcoating truth for guys listening in is that it's on you. The unfortunate truth of the situation, and I will not be popular if guys are listening in and if they hear about this secondhand from your queens, is it's on you. There's a high chance that your wife has been 100% on the money energetically, that this energetic connection that you have with your mother, it's too close. It's not safe. She does not feel safe in your presence because you have still this moral bind. It's okay. I can meet you there as a man knowing I didn't know this for years. It took me several years in deep men's work. I work with guys all the time in Heroic Husbands men's circles to initiate them, to empower them, to inform them. And the guys start their chest out. They're feeling it. To start setting a boundary with their mom that is intruding. To start saying, hey, mom, I get it. I get your opinion, but I'm a no to that. You know, my queen and I, whatever the name is, like, this is our way that we're deciding to parent our kids. This is what we've decided about what our work career arrangements are going to be. I appreciate your opinion, Mom. I know you're coming from a helpful perspective, but I'm at a no. And you really, I'm setting it there. Don't go beyond that. You've got to respect our decision. You don't have to agree with it, but we do have a non-negotiable need that you respect our choice. Boom, done. Really startling for the mother, but that needs to be landed through the son. What these men, these husbands that are in this bind, they try and put it off energetically to the wife. Hey, if you have it with her, maybe you should tell her. If you're so upset about the parenting, maybe here, I'm giving you the permission. You can tell my mom. I'm not going to get upset. You tell her. I'm here to say to guys, it's not for your wife to do your dirty business. This is for you to step in and get. Yeah, it's, I don't know the language I use, language, and it's initiatory, provocative language, but it's to get your the energy of your genitalia between your legs
Well,
is
you
to
can
get
use language in this
your
podcast.
it's to come from your cock wisdom. There's heart wisdom and cock wisdom. In men's work, we speak to this. There's a heart wisdom of loving your mother, and there's a cock wisdom of penetrating through whatever forces are preventing your family from living their most authentic human experience. And if your mother is one of those, you've got to rob the key from under her pillow, unleash your wild man, and start integrating that. And if this podcast episode, to build in some context, for both the guys listening in and for queens listening in, there's not enough in just this podcast episode. There is a deep need for husbands around the planet to come into a culture. I want to share, of course, I'm biased in this. My movement is about that. It is that culture. I'm not serving people by saying, oh, just listen to the podcast. Oh, read Iron John. It's not enough. You can't self-guide yourself as a man through this. Therapy doesn't help. Marriage therapy, man, that's just unfair on both men and women, because men need to be initiated into this and take a level of ownership that marriage therapy doesn't even come close. Marriage therapy does, it's even. And oh, you know, men come out going, hey, well, you heard the therapist, you need to hold space for me. And it's like the it just it's so against the natural law, the ancestry, the spiritual dynamics and truth that comes through. They need a powerful movement of men to help them initiate, to help them embody what is a radical shift in their state of being. That if you don't have that external support, it's nigh near impossible.
Thank you for all of that. So I'm going back to being a woman in this situation and going, okay, so what the hell am I gonna do in this? And personally, and I'm just gonna say this and then you can confirm or tell me if this is out altogether. Is to first and foremost start accepting and really deeply embodying the fact that there is a part of you that is really feeling into the situation for what it is. And again, as always, there can be a part that can be coming from the way you've been traumatized by your own narcissistic mother, and I'm talking to the women now, and you know, your own trauma, and there can be abandonment wounds there, and can be a lot of different things that for sure play a part. But this is the work that we do instead. So you spoke about your men's group, like in the women's circles and in the one-on-one, we do work a lot on this. So in to start understanding that yes, there is a part that may be driven by trauma and coping strategies, but there is also a part that is your inner wisdom and that innate capacity that you have to feel into a situation that is actually feeling right. It is fucked up. It is actually a weird relationship that you're seeing, and is damaging to your own relationship with your husband and to your own family. And so start really owning that fact, and possibly maybe start setting your own boundaries from there. Not so much with the actual mother-in-law, if that's not something that, like, I know I have women that have come on saying that they feel that that's uncomfortable. It's like, the, as you mentioned, because they are actually attempting to do in the work that maybe is not their work, because that way they end up putting themselves in the middle of this relationship and it gets complicated. So I get that that can be challenging, but you can start setting boundaries and own where you're at and know, own what you feel. Let your voice be heard with your partner, with your husband. Start a conversation. And again, I just want to, like, tell me if that, from a men's perspective, if that is a valid way to go about it.
It's rocket fuel. Absolutely. I'm in total agreement. It's that reiteration of, you know, the women listening in, you've been initiated. You're probably still going through a monthly initiation. You've earned a right. Beyond the conditioning of this society, you've earned a right. You have, like, from a masculine terminology, sort of, I don't mean to, it's like to bring it into a mindset that maybe guys can enter into. It's like, you're undergoing the training. 3-4 days every single month. That's like a training of emotional sensitivity, of intuitive being able to read in an ultra precise way. So trust that, go with it, have the courage to go. To empower women listening in and guys to get a hold of what's actually being required from them, what they need to embody, is in my work personally and with guys around the world, there's three core characteristics that a husband must embody to a progressively deepening way. You can get up pretty quick to speed with this. Like, after a couple of weeks, like a couple of months in the Heroic Husbands Men's Movement, when guys get a rudimentary idea of what this looks like and feels like, their queens feel safer and there's major shifts happening. So there's a deep need for women to see it and feel it embodied in their husbands, that they're embodying presence, progress, and protection. What presence is an unwavering focus on the person you are with or the task you are performing. It's presence, it's awareness. It's like, if you're with your wife, you're completely with her. If you're doing a task, you're completely with it to completion. If you're with your children, you know, it's like your queen goes, hey, can you mind the kids this Saturday? I'm going off into town. You're completely with them. She doesn't come back with you, you know, snatching, watching the football match inside as the kids are going crazy, risking to break their necks outside. It's unwavering presence. The next one is progress. It's the emotion of desire. It's like you're fully present. The emotion of presence is love. You're fully in love and present with your queen, completely there with your kids. You love what is. Progress is having an evolving family vision you desire to live whilst leading the conversations and systems set up needed to get there. Bit of a mouthful, but there's potent information in there. It's driven by desire. Hey, I love where we're at. I'm present. I can have unwavering focus at where we're at now, but we're at A. I'd love a bit of B. I'd love a bit more freedom. I'd love more lovemaking. I'd love, you know, to have less arguments. I'd love to be able to communicate. I desire. And then the very important foundation of all of this is protection, and that's anger. He needs to master anger I mentioned this earlier in the conversation, stopping forces that prevent your family living their most authentic human experience. You can see the relevance of that. If there's this unspoken dynamic for the guys listening in, and if it's not being met for the wives listening in, if you don't feel protected, if he's not stopping the forces of his mother going, you know, coming in, storming into town, thinking she can change the routine of kids, of parenting. She can come in and just tidy up the room when she's there. She might be minding the kids. You go out for date night. She's helping you. But by Christ, every time you come back, you pay the price for it because she changes everything in the house to her way of doing things. You know, a multitude of ideas and things that she does or she says that just stink. They feel bad. I just want to say to the women listening in, if it feels bad, there's a friend of ours, I know, Amore, he used to always say to us, like, if it looks like poo, if it stinks like poo, you can bet your bottom dollar it is poo. He was using other words for it. That black and whiteness in you, for the women listening in, if it stinks like shit, it probably shit. If it looks like shit, if he sounds like shit, if you're feeling in and you can feel a hypocrisy, if you can feel an unspoken in your husband, trust it. A real key thing that's coming up. So it's to have clarity there. Wives listening in. If your husband is not embodying presence with a deep comfort of love and being, you know, having unwavering focus with you and with the task at hand, and if ever his unwavering focus gets knocked because his mother comes on the scene, if that need is not being met, if he's not embodying that characteristic, there's a major alarm bell, and your alarm bells are completely valid. If he's not embodying progress, this capacity to own his desire to go from A to B. In this topic, what is so key and central to the success of your husband healing his wounds and being able to show up in a way that feels safe by you in the dynamics of his mom is on the scene, you're on the scene, and he's making the choices that support you feeling protected and safe. Again, your needs, the women listening in, your need to feel seen and heard and above all else, safe. Protection is one of the most important masculine roles. Heroic husband, the hero, he's a protector above everything else. You know, my queen is behind me. My kids are behind me. Are they safe? What do I need to do to protect? It's divine. It's ancestral. It's so essential. Where I have deep compassion for men in this conversation is because of the lack of initiation in this society, because for societal norms and what has happened, the majority of a boy's upbringing is the parenting predominantly historically in the last few generations has been predominantly done by the mother, by the feminine. So a boy growing up has received more an out of balance amount of feminine nurturing than masculine. Predominantly dads were away at work. So your husband growing up, statistically speaking, there's like a 90% chance that he'll resonate very deeply. If he was in front of me and I said, hey man, you know, does it ring home as being true for you that, you know, the most of the parenting interactions, you know, your dad was probably away. Most of them go, yeah, it was a lot more mom. And even when he was at home, was it more dominant, you know, your mom doing the parenting thing and your dad was called in sort of just when it was going off to sports or to discipline his kids. A lot of guys go, yeah. And when I then say, it's like, hey, did you end up learning like the rules of how to relate with your mom, you know, to be a good boy, and you learn to radically eliminate like the bad boy elements? It's like, yeah, and guaranteed. Almost guaranteed, every single time, mothers will say to sons, you know, don't get angry with me, Mark Usher. Don't get angry. Because anger is a boundary setting emotion. And, you know, what, again, I can understand the moms in this, like the mothers of the son. It's like, hey, the dad was away, a lot of stress, the human experience. Hey, the son sets a boundary. Hey, I'm angry because he is a truth coming true. It's very inconvenient. You're stressed. You're under resourced. There's no tribe there helping you out. You're all alone as a parent. I mean, it's damn hard. However, every single time that mothers did that growing up, and they said, don't get angry, the son learned in his formative years that his anger, again, women listening in going, oh, okay, it's very important to call your husband to account, but have an understanding and you to attune with what is really happening and has happened in his nervous system. As sons, we learned our masculine, you know, set a boundary, be masculine, be aggressive, roughhouse, shout and climb and cry and roar and like go crazy. You know, the wild man in the story, that's not welcome. And when we rebelled against the system and we wanted to go wild man in a young boy, it's very natural in an apartment, in a house, and your mom, you know, is working overtime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of time was like that was shut down. So we linked shame, anxiety, fear, with and guilt with our experience of anger growing up. Mom, I just want to, don't you get angry with me. We end up making an intimate link that anytime we get angry and we are being asked to set a boundary, that a gush of shame, a gush of anxiety, a gush of guilt comes in. And hence, it's almost all pervasive. I'll touch base, I'll ask, you know, women, wives listening in, does your guy have this persona that seems like he's a Mr. Nice Guy? He's a feminine pleaser. That might be and probably is infuriating for you and makes you feel very unsafe around his mother, not to mention other women in your community. But he has had to disconnect emotionally from anger, and he has been made believe. I experienced this for guys listening in. I experienced this in profound levels. And again, 90 to almost 95 or 100% of men in deep ends work, when I meet them there, they'll say, yeah, I experience such anxiety, I experience such shame, I just don't go with anger because it's wrong. I've been made believe it's wrong. What is wrong is aggression, when you attack and lash out. It's a different conversation, but anger is pure, and that's the challenge before your husband. That's the challenge before every husband on the planet, is to reclaim his right, free of shame, free of guilt, free of any conditioning of you're inherently wrong, you're bad as a man, as a human being, to experience anger, own it, and set a boundary from there. That's an immense healing journey he needs to go on. And it's terrifying. It's truly terrifying for him to take those first steps, because it's a gush of he's wrong, inherently wrong. So when you're asking him to set the boundary with his mom, there's a cocktail of the most horrible, alienating feelings that are alive in him. The good news is there are places. Again, I'm pointing to unapologetically heroic husbands, men's circles. It's the movement. I've set the entire thing around being able to support you, husband, if you're listening in, on this journey. So you have a flash lamp and it's not frightening any step of the way. And if it is frightening, you'll get through. You'll have the support, you'll get through, and you'll come out the far side every single time feeling more grounded and feeling able to protect your queen from your mother, from all forces out there. It's really empowering. So yeah, it's presence multiplied by progress and protection. That's the trifecta that men need to embody. Guys, there's a repeatable, systematized approach to support you in embodying that, even if you're starting with no tools in the toolbox. And for women listening in, hey, you've every right. It's essential that you can bring it to him. And you now have the words here. Hey, Tom, I need you to be embodying presence. If you take the time, what presence is and looks like within a powerful man, I need that from you. I love you. You're a powerful man, but until you're embodying that, and if you don't know how to do it, get the support. I need progress from you. I need you to get comfortable with desire. I'm not your mom. I'm not your therapist. Don't ask me to figure it out for you. You need to figure it out by yourself. Ground in on it, and protection above all. You have every right, wives of the world, women of the world, you have every right. Every right. that your husband is the one human on the planet that is within a nanosecond. He will protect you, your safety, emotional, physical, and that of your family, that he takes that responsibility as being one of the most sincere things. You've every right to demand that from him. And I'm consciously using the word demand. Set your boundary. Come from your anger and go, hey, Tom, this is what I need from you. This is what I demand from you. You got to figure it out.
I've done that a few times, did you?
Yes, you have.
Yeah,
And our marriage is infinitely better as a result. You have. I love that you're bringing that because it takes that courage. It really takes immense courage from. I work with guys. I think it works really powerfully. Again, that protection when it comes from the masculine pole first. You know, it's the masculine proves his non-surrender. Then the feminine, when it's proven, can go, okay, I can surrender into that, to the safety of that. It's a very powerful dynamic. But you did lead very powerfully in calling me to account in early days, and you continue to do so. That was a process for you to ground in your self-esteem and ground in your self-worth and your self-love to do so. But when you did, by Christ, it really supported me going, this is a wake-up call. You've put a distinct boundary in front of me. I'm not allowed to step over that until I figure my shit out much better. And that's where I became obsessive about men's work and hair. The man I am today is very much directly linked to the power of your boundary and boundaries. So again, to the powerful women listening in, you do have a massively influential role, but your gauntlet of fire is you've got to find that anger inside of yourself, that self-esteem, whether it's in the circle with Matilda or whatever, wherever it is, you've got to come with a bit of growl and probably a lot of growl and go, no, enough is enough. I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. I want to.
Which is part of the work. I know you've mentioned about how for men the contact in that anger has been shamed and has been and it's very much the same. Like a lot of the work that we do within the circles and in the one-on-one is about setting boundaries with the narcissistic mother predominantly, but the way that we are unable to set boundaries with our narcissistic mothers is also then reflected into how we don't set boundaries anywhere else in life. I know for myself, when I actually eventually got to the point of being able to be grounded in myself enough to be able to set a boundary with my own mother, then setting boundaries with you or setting boundaries with anyone else really became extremely easy. Like that was like the hardest to find anger and express it to a person that had reared me and trained me into never being allowed to be angry. And again, it's a big topic, anger, because a lot of women would say, oh, but I do get angry all the time. I mean, I end up shouting and I end up like I used to throw plates. We still laugh about the Italian in me that just throws plates around the kitchen. That's not getting angry. That's an explosion of aggression. It's a different thing. But that anger that is deeply rooted inside and that comes out in a powerful voice and it comes out owned and it comes out in a need that you have and that you're going to speak for strongly. That's what I'm talking about. So that is the work. It's the work for both sides in different ways. Like we go at it differently and we work on it differently, but it is the work for sure.
One thing that's I feel very important to mention, I speak pretty black and white about therapy. It can be beautiful as a segment of your overall healing journey by itself, not worth a crap in these type of dynamics. So anything, it's a container where anything I say will be loved, will be accepted, and my attachment needs will not be taken away from me. I can be fully. He's trying to replicate the dynamics with his mom. But again, He's doing that, and what he's doing is refusing to take the damn key from under her pillow and go, hey. It's like pretty brash, but like, fuck you, woman. I'm a man in my own 2 feet. And when he does that, and he can only do that in a circle of men, in a safe way, in a respectful way. Again, you can take one snippet of what I say and go, oh, he said, fuck you, woman. It's like, he's such a dreadful, evil man. He's just like all the other chauvinists out there. This is divine, divine love. Divine love of the feminine. It's to say, hey, the only place he can do that is in a circle of men, because those men will rip the umbilical cord out of all his excuses, his hiding, his being, you know, clawing on the ground energetically as he's been dragged into, man, get angry. Get angry. Cut all of that bullshit. Cut all of that rationale. I've been with guys where in that powerful, loving band of brothers, the initiation was, get angry with me. Come on. And I'd literally, like, provocatively, it's within a distinct exemplary code of conduct, so the guys are safe to go there, but it's like trigger and provoke them to get in touch with their anger. And guys would say time again, it's like the waves of anxiety that was coming through, that their body is trembling, it feels like their entire nervous system is saying no, that this is the most terrifying thing. And then they have the release, and I actually tear up because I've a library full of breakthrough moments when a guy finally lets a growl out of him. And it sounds silly, a growl, but it's the most divine music that comes through a man when he growls, when he starts realizing, I have an anger. I have a warrior. I have this part in me that can say no. It's almost like, and they every single time feel so powerful. They're like, out after they've went through this initiatory, like, gauntlet put before them, with the shame, the anxiety, everything, and their whole body wanting to collapse. Guys will say, it's like, I wanted to poo myself. I wanted, like, that was just like the most terrifying thing. When they get out to far side, they're alive. Their eyes are lit up. They're back in their core. Their posture's up. Their chest is out. They're like, I don't know. I can't describe it, but that was the most amazing thing. And do you know what happens after that? In the coming weeks, they start having conversations. Their queen feel more protected. They can feel the cock energy in him. They can feel his confidence. They can feel his courage. He has a conversation with his mother. He says no, but he says it in a rounded way that the mother is supported, realizing, oh, he actually means it. He might have said it 30 times, 100 times before, but because he now has an unapologetic access to anger, she feels it. And not all the time, of course. Some mothers will have distinct patterns that they're just not going to respect. But the majority of times, the mother feels much better as a result, because it's like she can respect. It's like she finally sees her son as a man. Mm-hmm. And the initiation has happened. She's like, he is on his own 2 feet. I can now surrender and let him to be a husband. I can surrender and respect the boundaries of this household because I trust him. There's the divine feminine intuitive guidance of the mother in there and the divine feminine guidance of the wife, and the husband in between having to figure out what the hell this means. That's what I specialize in. And when guys figure out what that means, it's a beautiful game and everybody is feeling happier. Mm-hmm. Definitely within husband, wife and kids. Hey, what happens to mother? That's on her. But it's the burning house metaphor. Whether she feels upset, whether she drops in and is happy, the initiated man goes, hey, it's my queen. There's only one center of attention for me in this life's journey. After being a boy, when I'm married, the feminine center of my entire existence is my wife. Nobody else.
Definitely. And I can say also from experience with different degrees of narcissism and some pretty intense, well, not only in my own life, but in my work, that when women come from actually a grounded, rooted place, when they set boundaries, those boundaries are respected. They actually always are. And so I'm like, I would say that that's the same for the worst of the narcissistic mother-in-law. The minute that the man actually gets really grounded and rooted in himself and in contact with his anger and sets a boundaries that is grounded, that will be respected. Begrudgingly, perhaps. I mean, she doesn't have to be happy about it, but it will be respected. There is an energetic that happens. It doesn't matter how narcissistic the person is. They don't like boundaries. They don't like them. So my mother doesn't like the boundaries I've set with her, but she's respecting them. She has no choice. When it comes from a grounded place, the vast majority of boundaries, and this is a whole different topic, and I'm gonna do more episodes on boundaries on this podcast anyways, but the boundaries that you find are not respected is because they are not set from a grounded place. There is an energetic that isn't working. You are saying some things, and maybe you've listened to enough and you have enough tools to actually say the correct sort of things. But where you're coming from is still that scared little child, which is fine. I get it. I mean, I've done it for years. So that's why they're not respected. So that's just wanted to say that for people that are listening, going, oh, but my mother-in-law will never listen. Well, I can bet that she would when it comes from a grounded place.
You need to exercise the primal growl. Men and women have that. I love exactly what you're saying. It's like the words is 5% of it. But if there's no growl, it's the look in the eye, it's the energy. You mean business. And so it's with the son needs to set that boundary with his mother. And if it's predominantly women listening to this, maybe men as well, but the wife needs to find her growl with her husband. The husband needs to find a growl to say, back off, mom. This is our turf. And the wife needs to find a growl to go, step up. Step the fuck up. I've been initiated for decades, brought kids in. I've earned the right. I am entitled to say, step the fuck up. If you're not gifting him that's the most loving expression from a wife to a husband. Whether he doesn't, and hey, if he doesn't see it as a gift, tell him louder. Tell him in a way that he gets the point. I literally mean that. Divorce is not the worst case scenario. I am really clear. I say this to guys in the podcast all the time. It's like divorce, hey, that's not the worst case scenario. Living on unhappily ever after with your authentic truth trapped in the background, suppressing, repressed, resented, sedating with drink and drugs and unhappiness and social media, unhappily ever after. That's my worst case scenario. I think that's the worst case scenario. That's horrible. So that's real though. Divorce is real. Living astoundingly unhappily ever after, it's happening all the time. That's a tragedy. So it takes 20 seconds of insane courage to hit him with a boundary, to hit him with a growl, with a no, I'm not taking any more of this bullshit. Come on, you either step up. I'm empowering you, beautiful, powerful goddesses listening in, with presence, progress, protection. I deserve that. Tell him with force. Write it out, quote what the exact things are so he has something tangible. Land it to him. And you find when he feels it, like I felt it with you, baby, he'll shift. He'll seek. If he doesn't feel it fully, if there's a path of least resistance and he feels, no, this is just like a flash in the pan and she doesn't really mean it, hey. The path of least resistance, the persona will use the path of least resistance. Our personas will always go to the most comfortable path out of a situation. So it has to be real. And yeah, well, that's your work to find that power. If he's not listening into this conversation now, for the guys that are listening in, guys, it's all on you. She's not your fucking mom. If you're listening in, that's my statement to you. You're listening? Cool. Well done having the courage to listen in with your queen. She's not your mom. It's your job, man.
So I think that's it. We've been talking for about an hour and it's been quite a important conversation. Undoubtedly there'll be questions. So I will have all the links, of course, for you, Mark, and for guys that are interested, and for women that want to refer their husbands. There's going to be the link to the Heroic Husband men's groups and your website, and so you can, and your podcast, of course, Be the Husband She Brags About. So all those links are going to be in the description of the episode, alongside the links that are always there if you are looking for the women's circle or the one-on-one work. You can go to womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me, and there you find all the information, and you can subscribe and all of that. So with that said, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your wisdom with us.
This has been epic. It's been too long, and I'm going to have you back on my podcast really soon. So this has been so enjoyable. Thank you for the invite to come on, and yeah, thank you, and a special word to everybody that's listening in. This healing journey and the upbringing that we've all had individually and collectively, it's an astounding challenge. But you've got it. You've got it. You've got the power in you. Yeah, go get at it. And anger is the key to unlock that door.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And with that, I wish you a wonderful week and lots of love. Bye for now.